As you know, if you're a regular attender, we practice what is called open communion, and that is that we invite you, if you're trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whether you're a regular attender or a first-time guest here with us, you're welcome to partake of communion. But one of the things that comes up occasionally is, okay, but at what age and what kids could and could not? And so we were going to have a conversation with Sarah, our children's director, and be able to talk a little bit about that and, yeah, address the idea of kids and when do we include them in communion.
Well, we thought we'd start out with the basics. I remember when my kids were 2 and 3, and I started having a small panic attack thinking, oh no, they're going to think it's just a snack. It's not a snack. So, kids, communion is not a church-wide snack.
Okay, so that's good. It's not a snack. But we do have these conversations then, and when do they become, in your experience, I'm a little hot there, Mark, if you want to pull me back down some. When do we start kind of pressing into that conversation? About what age? And I know it's not the same for all, but about when do we start having those conversations?
So I'll speak just from my experience. For my kids, we wanted to address the relationship. Well, we needed to address their personal relationship with Christ first. And of course, that was different in age for each kid. But if we're talking in general terms, in terms of, you know, cognitive ability and ability to understand, for us, it was between ages 5 and 8, roughly.
So what you're saying, though, is that you're addressing the relationship first. That's the key word I hear you say.
Yes.
Do you have this personal relationship with Jesus? And that's where we're going. That's what we're addressing. So let me address the purpose question then and to say, what are we doing about this? If they're in that age and they're saying, okay, I follow Jesus and I want to do this, what is it about? What's the purpose for which we celebrate communion? It's a good idea to realize that there are 4 times that we're told about communion in the Bible. 3 of those are within the gospel accounts, but 1 is in 1 Corinthians. Those are the 4 times that we're told about this. And when we look at that, we say, here is the construct for understanding what communion is about. In other words, we are not saying the way that we approach it needs to be approached in every church in every place. And we're not saying our approach is necessarily superior to a different church's idea. But what we do is we go back to the Bible and say, what does it say? It's not about a program, in other words, in the church. It's not about a certain class, and you go through the class and then you take communion. Now, I don't know about for you, but for me, and I know for many, we went through the class, but I didn't really understand it, but I still went through and did the next thing. And what we really choose as an emphasis is that the Bible, and our statement of faith says it this way, that those 66 books of the Bible constitute the only divine rule of Christian faith and practice. So while it isn't perfect, we go back to the Bible to say, what does the Bible teach? And how are we teaching our kids to do that? And to really give an emphasis then in that the Bible is the one. And then when you look at those 4 examples, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in particular really talks about this idea of celebrating what we're doing. Paul is the one who twice in his rendition of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, twice says, in remembrance, he says that. So the idea is, what are we remembering? We're remembering the sacrifice of Christ, but we're also remembering our own purchase, that he did that. And so it's about celebrating that remembrance.
So if we're simplifying it and kind of boiling it down for kids, once I, whether a child or an adult, once I believe and repent, then communion is really a way to celebrate that decision. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And that idea, again, is that 1 Corinthians is about then this remembering, celebrating, remembering, don't forget what great cost brought you into this relationship. And so here are these things going on, and we're told to come to the table remembering what Christ has done.
Great. One thing that I've struggled with or just wondered about is in 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about Paul gives a warning for not taking communion in an unworthy manner, and I just wanted to read that here in 1 Corinthians 11, where it says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. What is that about, and how do we talk about that in regards to kids?
That's a great, helpful passage for the conversation, and that is this. I want you to notice that while there was a context in Corinthian church that had all kinds of issues going on, we're told the idea about how to examine ourselves to prepare for the table. And it isn't necessarily saying that if you have these exact circumstances, like we're going on in the church in Corinth, then you have to address them. It's obviously a more general application than that. But notice the application. It is to the individual. You, individual, examine yourself. You, individual, you have been harming these other people by the way you have gone about it. Now, it was you plural, also, the church had kind of captured into this, but it is saying, you, before you come to the table today, examine. Kids can do that. Kids can examine. Am I coming in a worthy or an unworthy manner? And what does it mean to be worthy? Is it my works? Absolutely not. Is it I'm trusting and depending upon Jesus? And so I've surrendered to him. And so the examination is to be personal. And so we believe it is the family's opportunity. It is the individual kid's opportunity to be able to help in that examination. Because a class, in a sense, won't effectively do that. Not to the degree that a family sitting around can do that. Now, that's where we encourage the parents to be having that. We equip the parents and we work at that to be able to say, that's a conversation we want you to have with your kids.
So really, as a parent myself, and I'm just serving as children's director here at PAC, our job is to teach our kids what it means to have a relationship with Christ and to present the gospel to them. But once we come to the point of understanding communion, really that's a family thing that you encourage us to lead our kids into. Is that right?
That's correct. And it isn't to say that the pastors and our children's director and our teachers won't help with that. But it is that we're coming alongside the family, and that is our philosophy of ministry. That the family is the first place where Christianity is caught and taught and modeled, and that's what we're working to equip. Is there exceptions to that? Of course there are, and we'll work with those, and that's why we have staff, and why we have pastors, and why we have elders, and why we have teachers. But that's the really front line.
One practical way we had talked about encouraging families to talk about it beforehand is perhaps adding it to our e-news when we send it out so that parents can know, hey, this is a communion Sunday. Start having that conversation with your kids before you're sitting in the pew and help them to really engage with it as a church body.
So. Because preparation for worship is always good. And I'm going to call those who are going to serve us now to come as we prepare our hearts. Sarah, thank you.